This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi everyone, this is Paul Simpson, manager at Carlisle United, and you're listening to the Blue Army Podcast.
My name is Jamie Devitt.
My name is Maddie Robson.
My name is Chris Miller.
My name is Paul Anderson.
My name is Mark Boyd.
Hello. My name is Derek Combs.
My name's Toby Show Silva.
My name's Greg Abbott, and you're listening to the Blue Army Podcast. Enjoy.
Oh, hello, Max's forehead.
All right, how are you doing?
Hello.
Hello. Oh,
hello.
Oh, everyone's in.
Hello.
Everyone hears each other, I think.
Yeah, I can hear everyone.
Yep. Yeah, happy days. Well, I know normally I reserve this for the news, but, you know, it seems a bit cheap because we keep mentioning it, but Darren Brathwaite has once again made headlines because he was mentioned and praised very recently by Jamie Redknapp, and therefore that throws up the debate once again whether or not praise from... No, sorry, Jamie Carragher. Whether or not praise from Jamie Carragher adds value to a play or not, as we go around once again and speculate what we think Jared Brathwaite's price tag is after the weekend. Will?
Yeah.
Go on.
I think I said 80 last time, so I'm going to stick with 80. It was a high one last time, so I'm not going to go any higher than that.
Yeah, Jamie Carragher's comments don't add any value to a player.
I think I might have already overshot it last week, so...
trying to make up for it. Liam?
Like 60, 65, something like that. Yeah. But only about 20 if Everton go down, so...
I don't think it'll go that low, I really don't. Max, what do you think?
Yeah, probably about 70-ish. I do agree with Liam, though. I do kind of want them to stay up just so we can get a better deal out of it.
Yeah, if Everton go down, that people will know that they're desperate to sell, probably. So,
yeah,
probably won't get as good a deal.
Well, you know, what is a good deal, lads, is all of us, we're back together here for the Blue Army Podcast. So, of course, I'll kick things off properly. Rita Matters, how's it going? And welcome back to the Blue Army Podcast. This is, of course, episode 147. And as I've just mentioned, I'm absolutely buzzing to be joined by the three men that I love to call the Cumbrian Brain Trust. That's right, I'm talking about Max, Wills and Liam. Welcome back, lads. Thank you very much for coming back. How are we doing? We're feeling, you know, I don't know how we're feeling this week.
Yeah, I don't know, sensitive.
You know, we've had a few bumpy rides.
It's been pretty dreadful, let's be honest.
It's probably been the worst period I can remember, but that's probably just because it's happening now, yeah. and the feelings are fresh.
And here's a thing for, like, we'll get to discussing this later, but for, like, part of that game, you know, we actually played all right. And then, you know, Cambridge weren't exactly brilliant. So to then get beaten 4-0 the end of that.
It's a weird feeling because off the pitch, it's like the best time ever. And then but on it, it's like, we're just awful. But yeah. I'm sure we'll get to that later.
Yeah, I mean, you know morale will be low. So it's kind of, it passes from the players to the fans, doesn't it? And sometimes the other way around.
Well, that's why we have a tradition around here on the Blue Army podcast to pick up morale right at the start of the show. And that can mean it's time for one thing and one thing only. It's time for the Blue Army podcast. Joke of the week is... I think he's trying to. It's the Blue Army podcast. Joke of the week. Right, here we go. This one's been donated by Will, this one. Here we go.
I mean, I can't take all the credit for it. I just found it.
I mean, I'll have to read it out. Did you hear about... did you hear that this week the guy who owns IKEA was elected the new Prime Minister of Sweden? Well, his next task is that he has to assemble the cabinet.
Nice. I like that one. Pretty harmless.
Pretty harmless. And we'll move swiftly on to a part of the show where we all get to find out what's been happening here. What's been happening there? In the League One Roundup with Wills and Liam. Take it away, boys.
Have you looked at anything particular, Liam?
Nothing in particular. I've just got results. It's been a pretty drab week in League One, hasn't it? There hasn't been much.
Yeah.
Unless you've got something groundbreaking that I've missed.
Well, just in terms of the fact that Portsmouth have now won four in a row and, you know, look to be really surging ahead for, you know, automatic promotion, while Peterborough have now lost four in a row and they've not won in five. So, you know, they were one of the teams that were right up there, but they've kind of dropped back a bit in the title race. The other thing that I picked up, and I don't know if you saw this, Liam, is Derby County have signed Dwight Gayle on a free transfer.
Oh, yeah, I did see that, actually, yeah. The one that we kind of jokingly said we should get. We're, like, not expecting that he would ever drop to this level, and now he has.
I mean, he's dropped down to this level with an expectation of winning promotion this season.
Yeah.
So,
is it a 6-month deal or is it longer?
Good question. Signed. It's 6-month deal.
He's
34 now.
Smash and grab.
It's 34. Bloody hell.
Yeah. But you know, it's one of them players that you sometimes see come down to a lower level and do exceptionally well.
Yeah, it was one of them ones that's like too good for the Championship, not good enough for the Premier League, like in the pinnacle of his career.
Yeah, I mean, you think when we got like Michael Bridges or Ian Hart, you know, those were both kind of dropping down to a level below where they'd played before, but, you know, done really well and got back up to the Championship.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Nope, that's it. Steve Evans has signed a new contract at Stevenage. So,
yeah, more Steve fresh Evans. Off the defeat of fresh off their recent defeat. They're out of the playoffs for the first time in a long time. So, you know, we might not have to put up with the distraught of them going up, which I don't think I could handle. I don't think I could handle Steve Evans getting back-to-back promotions. But we're going to have to put up with him for a while longer. Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what's been happening here.
A very short week this week. But,
that's all we got. Sometimes you have a quiet week. I know what it's like. I do a new segment myself. But at least we all got to find out what's been happening here. What's been happening there? In the League One Roundup with Liam and Wills. Now, lads, you can feel the anticipation building because we all love to hear the beautiful and amazing and mystical ideas that people come up with in Max's crazy brain as we go on to the part of the show where, you know, I have to start off by apologising because it's the one time I just couldn't think of a rhyme. It's Max's £1 million idea. Get in.
Thank you very much. So this week's idea Well, it's a few ideas, to be fair. Comes from Flags for United on Instagram. It's quite a long one, so I'll read it all out and then we can see what we think about it. So it says, buy all the houses from the club shop to the traffic lights. Flatten them. I'm guessing this is on Warwick Road, yeah. Flatten them and the Warwick. Rebuild it with a fan zone outside where the houses are. New club shop with the ticket office inside. Warwick needs to be a taller terrace with better acoustics. Neil sent a knockdown and the waterworks turned into a functioning away end with the away fan zone behind. Might cost more than £1 million. So if we were to sort of dissect...
Nathan wouldn't be happy. Nathan would not be happy at all.
Yeah, it's definitely more than £1 million buying like 12 houses. In
it
the
is, yeah. Yeah. That's something that we haven't talked about before, yeah. Though, I don't think. Buying more of the houses.
Yeah, I don't think we particularly need the space to expand. I mean, I know there isn't any space behind the Warwick Road end, but there's plenty of space elsewhere that we can use.
Yeah, I feel like that would only happen if we went to the Premier League or something.
Yeah, I mean, especially if we're kind of building a new training complex, there'll be certain club functions that maybe get shifted out to that complex.
Yeah.
So, there'll be more space. Well, you know, there'll be the training pitches for the start.
Yeah. I mean, the new club shop thing is pretty... Do you think they could maybe have, like, a club shop in the training, like, facility somewhere, maybe?
If it's supposed to be, like, as central as they want it to be, because they said they want it to be, like, community kind of based.
Yeah.
If they want it to be, like... But
it's not going to be that central because it's going to be kind of space. Yeah.
Yeah, it'll kind of make it no more useful than the one on Warwick Road. Maybe if you put it out like.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine it'll maybe be something like near one of the motorway junctions.
It'll encourage
players to come as well, if the training complex is right by the motorway, because that's where they spend most of their time.
Yeah.
Warwick needs to be taller with better acoustics. It has been mentioned before, the acoustics in the Warwick, and I do think it needs to be addressed, because I went in the Pioneer for the first time at the Cambridge game, and granted it wasn't a big attendance, but you could not barely hear the Warwick, like, even though when you're in the Warwick it sounds really loud normally, but I don't know what can be, there must be a way of sort of, you know, because, I mean, it seems like the noise gets trapped a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, is it possible it could be re-roofed, but re-roofed in a manner that, you know, kind of preserves the history and the shape of it? Because
that's the, like, it's iconic, isn't it? Them kind of free spikes. I don't, you know,
should be blue again.
Yeah, they should be blue again.
But I'm not against the idea of replacing them if it improves, because it'll probably have to be done at some point. Because I mean, it leaks all the time.
Yeah, it is old.
So it needs a lot of maintenance. But, you know, it'd be good if we could have something that helped create more of an atmosphere, you know, by the shape of it, but was still, it kept the Warwick Road in the same shape as it always had been.
Yeah.
Yeah. The last point on there was to do with the fan zone where the Neil Centre currently is. I don't know if there is any plans. I don't think it's been mentioned before by the Pietax, but it'd be good to kind of, I mean, they're in the Pioneer anyway, so the hospitality, I'm guessing, would be all right as it is, but I'm not sure because I haven't been in the away end.
Yeah. If the club's doing a lot of community-based stuff as well at the ground, it would maybe be handy to still have, you know, like an indoor football pitch, because they could potentially get a lot of use out of that in that way.
Yeah, I don't know how much it gets used at the minute, to be fair.
Yeah, it's not like a full-size football pitch or anything either. It's not like the best sort of like facility anyway. So,
you'd
look to replace it pretty much straight away.
It's not enough for them to keep them
on it during the winter, and they keep going to like Gretna and places like that that have all weather pitches. So there's obviously more space there that's more valuable, and they're not just staying at the Neil Centre. So if they're not using the Neil Centre, they may as well just sack it off, like, because you can use any kind of space, can't you, for a community?
Yeah, like the Neil Sanders nowhere near big enough for the first team, is it?
Yeah.
But yeah, that concludes the £1 million idea. There's a few decent points in there. I've got a few because I posted put a post out about it and got a few decent responses, but as every week I'll restrict you all to one. just to prolong the, you know, lifespan, if you like.
Well, thank you very much. You know, I always have to apologize, you know, because it's the one time I couldn't think of a rhyme. That was Max's £1 million idea. We all love that one. Everyone loves that one. We'll move on to the news, and sometimes it's glum and sometimes it's happy. We'll kick things off with a bit of glum news, though. It's Paul Simpson standing up for himself in the press this week, coming out and saying that he is no quitter, basically saying that, you know, he's definitely not going to give up on his job at Carlisle United. It's not going to be a case of him ever stepping down and resigning. Will, you've known Paul Simpson since the first go around. Do you think this is typical of his character? Do you think maybe he's digging his heels in a little bit here?
Yeah, I mean, it's his stubbornness that's helped him save us from relegation once and almost save us from relegation after we were, you know, taken over partway through the season. So, you know, these are qualities that he has. Hopefully they'll be qualities that, you know, do the whole team good now when we, you know, when we need to fight and be a bit more stubborn. That's one way to look at it.
Well, that's it. Yeah, but there's come under a lot of criticism this week, unfortunately, Paul Simpson, and it has been building a little bit. And it was seen at the Cambridge match after the game. There was a player that refused to warm down, and there's been suggestions that potentially Paul Simpson is starting to lose publicly now the changing room at Brunton Park. It's not something that we've necessarily seen when Paul Simpson has been in charge at Carlisle United. Max, Liam, is this a little bit alarming to you guys, or you know, is this all part and parcel of football?
I don't really know, to be honest. Max, thoughts? I don't have an opinion on it, to be honest. I'm honestly a bit lost.
I feel like it's hard as fans to kind of know that for sure. It is the worry, obviously, because once the manager loses the dressing room, it's very difficult to come back from that, obviously.
I think some of that stuff can just be like, you know, low morale. And the reason for that isn't because the manager's lost the dressing room, but just because the team aren't playing well.
Yeah, it's potentially.
Kind of
I hope
other
it's that.
Reasons for kind of players seeming disinterested, maybe at times, or not seeming to all be pulling in the same direction.
Yeah, some players, though, that are out on loan and doing quite well include Matt Kilsby, who got his first start for Queen's Park, Queen's of the South. I nearly said Queen's Park Rangers there. That would have been good, wouldn't it?
They were loaning players to QPR.
made his first start for the Queen of the South. Unfortunately, his side could only manage a draw. Kai Newton played a very important part in Annan's very important 3 points as they fight to try and stay up and starve off relegation. And Sam Hetherington and Aaron Fitzpatrick both started for Workington, who unfortunately could only get a draw this past weekend. You know, youth players are plenty out there on loan, and they're all getting their opportunities and doing very well. Lads, somebody who's not going to get an opportunity for a couple more weeks at least is Georgie Kelly. He's been ruled out until April now, unfortunately. It's a very frustrating sign for Carlisle United, as obviously we were all kind of like excited to see Georgie Kelly. But at this point, you know, when you say in April, the season ends. And at the end of April, you can pretty much effectively say Georgie Kelly's impact on this season is officially over. You'd have to say, Liam, wouldn't you?
Well, it's over before it's begun, hasn't it? Yeah. I think he's more of a player for next season now. And I think it just highlights another issue that people have kind of realised in the recruitment side of things. Like, we've brought in a player to try and keep us up in League One who's not going to play this season because of injury. You know, and I do think he's a good player. I do think it's a good signing, but you know, has he been signed for when we go down? I don't know. I think, but it is disappointing to see it happen, because he was one that I kind of pinned our hopes on, and seeing him being ruled out until nigh on at the end of the season, I think that was like the final nail in the coffin for me, kind of thing. Seeing him not going to be available, I was like, nothing's going our way. Now this, I think that might be us down. That's like the last, not to sound too downtrodden, but that was like the last flicker of hope that George and Kelly would turn into the next, like, the League One Ronaldo kind of thing. But now we're not even going to see that. Yeah, exactly.
It does feel pretty unlucky. But at the same time, maybe it's kind of, you know, the desperation of the situation that we're in, that we're taking more risks with signing players, thinking of Georgie Kelly. You think he looks really good. He might be injured, you know, for the, you know, the rest of the season. But, you know, we're in that situation where if we've got the money and we think it's a good signing anyway, even if we do go down, that you kind of got to take that risk.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, Max, when you've got somebody who might not be able to get back into the squad until April, would you say just rule it out and get ready and get fit and come back for pre-season ready and raring to go in potentially what is going to be League Two? You know, would you just sort of wrap a player up at this point?
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, even if we are down by the time he comes back, you want him to sort of play a few games if he can, just to, you know, get some match experience with his new teammates, stuff like that. And then we can obviously have a look at him as well, which I'm looking forward to. So yeah, I think he'll definitely be in contention when he is fit.
You don't think it'd be much fun just watching him for the first time bang seven in against Kendall Town?
No, he didn't come in to good score against Kendall, did he? So
not... No, but it'd be a fun way to introduce yourself, wouldn't it? Imagine the highlight reel in your first friendly. No, anyway, lads, that's the end of the news. And before we dive into everybody's second favourite game, we're just going to have a few words from a couple of our sponsors.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
All right, fellas, it's time to play everybody's second favourite game. It's time to play True Blue or Not a Blue. That's right, gentlemen. And I'm teasing you because I'm getting closer and closer to the year, you know, that you were all, well, became Carlisle United fans, basically, more recently to the current year. I'm getting closer and closer to the current year as I tickle you with a bit of 1997. This time around. But, you know, as always, I've tried to make it a little bit difficult, so we'll see if you can discover the red herrings along the way. So off we go, gentlemen, as we play True Blue or Not a Blue. Here we go. So we got Peter Leacock.
I think that's true. I feel
I'll
like...
Go with Will.
I feel like...
Yeah, I'll go
even
with
though
Will.
I didn't know the squad from watching them well in 97... I had Championship Manager and managed Carlisle on it.
And but crucially, you were born.
No,
which
no,
is...
hang on. Hang on. It's, yeah. not, it's not Peter Leacock. It's Lee Peacock.
Oh.
Oh.
He's trying to trick us.
Yeah. That's quite a clever one as well.
So it's not
saying,
blue.
You're saying Peter Leacock isn't a true blue?
Yeah.
Will you be correct, sir? Well done, lad. Peter Leacock is not a true blue. Congratulations. The next one is Lee Peacock.
No, he scored against us in one of the, was it for Bristol City or, you know, one of the thing finals the LDV Vans finals that we lost. I'm sure
Bristol
he scored
Rovers
against
we played.
Yeah, I'm sure he scored against us in one of them.
But I still think he is a true blue.
Yeah. Oh, no, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm saying
he is a true blue then. And you'd be correct, lads. Well done. 2 for 2. You're perfect so far. And we'll move on to the next one, which is Alan Smart.
Yeah, he's true.
Yeah, true blue.
Oh, very keen on that one. Everyone's pretty confident. Liam's not snappy on it though, but we're going to lock in. No. We're going to lock in.
I know. This is just my Chapman squad.
And you got it, lads. Well done, Chapman. Will's encyclopedic Chapman knowledge helping out on this one. How about so from Alan Smart to Alan Thick?
No.
Alan Thick.
I really want him to be real, but yeah.
So they're saying not a blue for Alan Thick. And you'd be correct, lads. Alan Thick was not a true blue. Alan Smart was a true blue, but Alan Thick was never, ever a true blue. And gentlemen, we're going to go with the last one. You're potentially here with a clean sweep as I tell you the name of Peter Shirtliff.
That doesn't sound like a name. But...
I think he is a footballer. I don't think he's a Carlisle footballer. I think that's what this one is. Peter, I can't remember his name. I can't remember him playing for me.
This is such a big one, so we've never got 100% before.
Yeah.
Well, surely you would have remembered that name in your
yeah,
squad.
I think it's yeah, and I think he is a footballer.
That's what's worrying me. I wish you hadn't said that.
Yeah, but I don't think I had him in my squad.
Okay, I'll back you.
Unless he signed partway through the season and wasn't in the Chapman squad.
There's no update back then.
I don't think he is. I'm going to
not a blue.
Not a blue.
Saying not a blue. Peter Shirtliff was a true blue, I'm afraid.
Oh, no.
It must have been that partway through the season thing.
4 for 5, unfortunately. So close to an absolute perfect score. But a team that was nowhere near a perfect score on the weekend was Carlisle United, as we dive into the match report. That's right, gentlemen. As I always do, I'll read off the Carlisle United starting lineup for their game against Cambridge. Had in goal Lewis. And then we had Ellis, Lavelle, Barkley, Armour, Vella, Neil, Mellon, Gibson, Armstrong and Diamond. It's being reported that they were playing a fluctuating sort of like 4-5-1 into a 4-3-3. Gentlemen, I wasn't there. Does anyone want to weigh in on what they felt like the formation was?
I feel like fluctuating is just nobody knew where they were meant to be. That's just a nice way of saying that everyone was all over the spot. Like, I have no idea where Mellish was meant to be played, and I don't think he knew
Mellish
either.
Was in midfield.
It was. Yeah. He wanted at times. I think that's where, whenever we were kicking off from conceding, which happened a lot, that's where he was. But you know, he was all over the spot, which usually is a good thing. But he just looked a bit.
Yeah, I mean, it was maybe. To me. Yeah, I mean, he was maybe being told to try and do his Mellish thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it didn't work.
No, I mean, in the first half, you know, Carlisle United just sort of like limped over the line, only the one goal down. It came early on. It came in the 14th minute. And, you know, you could blame potentially the defence for being a bit slow, closing down the chance. But there was some clever build-up play. There was a clever little back heel in the build-up. And then it took until the 69th minute where, you know, you can label a little bit of criticism on the goal. And the main criticism in that goal goes to Harry Lewis. And, you know, last week he came under a little bit of fire as well when he couldn't quite get down to either side to be able to stop the onslaught once again last week that we suffered. Lads, Harry Lewis is starting to become under fire, and at Brunton Park, it can get a bit chilly and cold by the waterworks end. And we all know somebody that can deal with the Brunton Park breeze. That's right. His name is Gabriel Breeze. I mean, it might be a bit harsh. It might be a bit soon. This is the first sort of like real clear-cut mistake, I would say, that Harry Lewis has made in a Carlisle shirt that has led to us suffering a goal. But
I mean, how many more opportunities are you going to give Harry Lewis when, effectively, if we lose one or two more games, we're going down anyway? And wouldn't you rather maybe just potentially see what Gabe Breeze could give Carlisle United when there's nothing really for anyone to lose? What do you think of that one, Max?
I don't like the changing goalkeepers all the time.
We've done it so much already, though. Do you know what I mean?
I know we are, but...
I think you've got to. Yeah. I think you've got to have like set rules. Well, not rules, but you know, you've got to have like, I will change goalkeepers if you make a number of mistakes. But
I'd say Gabriel
apply the same rule to everyone.
He's got his contract. Sort of like thing going backwards and forwards or whatever. What's going on with contract? He wants a better contract. I'd turn around to Gabriel Breeze and I'd tell him, "You go out there and show me how good you are, and I'll pay you if you're that good." And then if he crumbles, you know, you can offer him £800 a week. But if he doesn't, he's earning £2,000 a week and he's earned it. Do you know what I mean? At the end of the day, he's really got something to play for.
It's a good point there.
But you can flip that and say, you know, why would you play him if he's not going to be here? Like, if the contract thing doesn't get, you know, sorted out, then you're just giving game time to a young keeper who's not going
to
be here.
He wants to play for Carlisle as much as he says he wants to play for Carlisle. And if a League One standard goalkeeper, if he can live up to the average standard of a League One standard, get a couple of clean sheets, and if he can live up to that standard, whatever the average wage of a League One goalkeeper is, he would have potentially have earned it by that point if he can do it consistently.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to get any clean sheets.
that's a big ask.
That's a huge ask, but you know,
I'm still kind of like not sure that it would be right at the moment to drop Lewis. As you say, is we've dropped goalkeepers earlier this season and we have chopped and changed a bit. We've dropped them for making mistakes, but I think they've usually got, you know, Anderson and Holy. I think it was maybe a couple of mistakes before they were dropped.
Yeah.
So it would seem a bit unfair to drop Lewis already. And also, and you know, even though it shouldn't be a consideration how much you paid for the player, oh, we've got to pay him because we paid a lot of money for him, it would make us look incredibly foolish if we dropped him now.
Yeah, plus we've got him for another, like, what, 3 years?
Potentially make us look like mugs in the transfer market if we give a player that kind of deal and then drop him after a few games and maybe never play for us again.
I mean, he is our first-choice keeper, and that's what he was brought in for, so...
I guess we
could loan him to, like, Hibernian or something. I don't think it'd be that hard.
I mean, there'll have been a judgment made on why he was, you know, worth what he was worth and why he was going to be the right keeper for us. And the people who made that judgment, i.e. Greg Abbott and Paul Simpson, will presumably want to trust their own judgment and say, no, I was right, he's going to keep playing. So I would be very surprised if they did that, because I'll say how foolish it make you look.
Yeah, well said. It was just an interesting proposition, though. It depends. We'll see what happens. We'll see how the situation unfolds. But I just don't feel like we've got that much to lose in case we want to give it a gamble. But yeah, we'll see how that situation unfolds. There's something else that unfolded. Carlisle United suffered another two goals. And for the third goal, there was a lot of boos around Brunton Park. The fans really turned, and it did look... seriously, like the Carlisle United back line was just all over the place and was just a bit defeatist before the ball even hit the back of the net. Liam, you're shaking your head in agreement there, and you've got a good vantage point from the Pioneer stand. I mean, how did you feel about the defending of the last two goals?
They both look to me like, you know, when you're losing 1-0 in like the 93rd minute and you push all your players up, just trying to get an equaliser. It looked like that kind of defending where there was just no one back. But for both goals, there was like, what, a load of time left and it was already gone. It just looked amateur stuff. And we were all over the spot for both of them. And I think the heads had just dropped and they'd accepted that we'd lost.
I think the second goal was just a mess. You know, we should have believed that we could still get into it at 2-0 down. I said before, like, the first half, we played well up until as is usual up until applying the,
we conceded
the finishing
12
touches. Shots. And then, yeah, and then, well, yeah, the, you know, one bit of skill quite easily undone us, because Eglia mentioned the back heel in that. So, and then 2-0, I don't know, we should have still fought, but yeah, you could see their heads just went down and everything just got a bit silly after that.
Yeah, it's probably the worst spell I've seen all season.
Yeah.
Personally.
It was really hard viewing, really hard viewing. And there's been a lot of comments made, I'm sure, in both Liam's comment section and Max's inbox. So it's time for us to hear what you have to say about Carlisle United's most recent performances. I'll let Max, you can dive in first this week, mate, and take the brunt of it, yeah. I suppose.
Yeah, so I put a question thing out on my story, and I had about 60 odd responses. So it's quite a lot, wow, of obviously emotions. So I'll just read a few out here. So Richie Macca 86 said, worried about the soft final three goals, no fight. Where are the leaders? Loads of people, probably about 10 people, commented just the word shit.
Will just said that about you know, sort of like Carlisle conceding the last three goals and sort of down in toes as well. So, yeah, people.
Yeah, agree. Well, it was a second goal, and probably, yeah, it was probably because the second goal was such a. Hang on, have we got a bit out of sync?
I think you're back now.
Yeah.
Okay. So where was I? Yeah, it was probably because the second goal was like such a comical goal to concede that. They've kind of like that's knocked the confidence out of them.
Yeah, I think the third goal was comical as well. I mean, Sam Lavelle completely, like, I don't know. It was probably the worst performance I've seen him.
Definitely.
Anyways, Josie Whitting 1 said, "We drive up from near Glastonbury, and it's just not worth it. Never thought I'd say that. I've just told my other half we aren't wasting any more money or our weekends until it's better."
Ooh.
So that's a pretty rough comment.
That is damning. Maybe
a bit more fair when you, yeah, Glastonbury is a long way.
Yeah, but there'll be people thinking the same who live, you know, a mile away, probably.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think we've got to keep the positivity, even if I can understand people not wanting to go and watch it, you know, watch it when it's like that, especially if you're travelling from Glastonbury. But, I mean, as long as we don't lose the overall optimism that we've maybe got around the club at the moment.
There's something like they had nearly 11,000 at the last home game. Yeah. Obviously, granted, it was, what was it, Bolton and, like, you know, big support. Mm-hmm. No, Portsmouth, yeah. And a big support, sorry. Yeah. Portsmouth and a big support. But, you know, this week it's gone like below 7,000, and so it's just seems like there's a lot of people with that kind of attitude at the moment that they're not going to go back until it does get a bit better.
Yeah.
Kai Thompson
said,
"They'll
come back."
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, they always come back when they start winning.
Kai Thompson said, "Simo stays. Isn't anyone better to get us out of this situation?" I'll read like three more. Jacob Lorimer, terrible again, with us looking like a bang average League Two side who don't look arsed. M.Warwick 849 says, shocking. No direction, no drive, no clue. Simo needs to go. A lot of things about Simo. I don't want to read out the Simo needs sack Simo stuff, actually. It's a bit. Liam Broach said, not good, we were the better team the first 25 minutes.
I agree with that.
I've got a few, and like Max, I'm trying to skip over the kind of just the spam of Simo out. But I've got a comment here from Gary McKay, who I'm pretty sure that's the guy that did like a marathon every day for a year, that guy. Right. But he says,
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, Cumbrian hero in the comments here. But he says, another dismal performance, absolutely pathetic performance, clearly doesn't care. We don't deserve to be in League One, and it shows. The worst team in League One, easy. Which, I mean, I think the The table agrees with him there. Mr. Yorkshire, who I'm guessing is a Bradford fan, just says Lewis. Ha ha ha.
Nice.
Nice of him there.
Nice, what a dick.
Michael Weston says, don't get rid of Simor, but what's happened to Hunt and a few more players out? Fallen out with Simor? Question mark. What are you boys' thoughts on that? With Huntington especially, because there seems to be a few players, McGeoch as well, who just don't seem to be able to get a look in, and maybe there's a sort of behind-the-scenes reason for that?
Might be. But I do think we are a better team with Hunt in the starting 11. That's just my opinion. I think he's a pretty stable centre-back and obviously got the experience. I would be quite surprised if he'd fallen out with Simo, because, I don't know, he doesn't come across as the kind of player to get involved in any sort of dispute with the manager, but you know, I don't know. I don't really know. That's just going off in my impression.
When I was chefing at Carlisle, like Paul Huntington is one of the few players that'll come up to you and like ask you questions, and the physios and stuff have also said that. He'd be like, why am I doing this exercise? What benefit does that have for doing this? He's very probing. Kind of thing, so maybe that can come across as a little bit confrontational at times. But we'll see. How that develops. But
that's like, surprising to you.
There's a reason why he was made captain. He's not afraid to sort of like speak up in a room. He's not necessarily the most articulate of men. He sounds like what he looks like, a big, hard Cumbrian Rolls Royce of a defender. He's a lovely bloke, but like I said, he's quite blunt and to the point when he wants to be.
As for McGeoch, I'm not really sure.
Not a clue.
Because he's just disappeared, hasn't he?
I think he had a bad game before he disappeared, so I don't know if he's just been dropped or was he among
the dropped out of the squad
injuries?
Entirely, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He played against Rangers.
Yeah,
so he's still there.
Yeah, I would say Simo recently reeled off a list of injured players that I think there was at least one on there that I didn't know was injured.
But yeah, that's about it for the comments. John Johnson says, just to wrap this up, I'm not sure any manager has ever kept his job with a record like this, and it's not over yet. It could get a whole lot worse. So yeah, a lovely one to round
end
off
on a high.
Yeah.
Thanks, Liam.
Hopefully we can end things on a high next week, as we always do towards the end of the match report. We look ahead to next week. I doubt anyone wants to give a man of the match award, so I'm pretty much smoothing over that part. And obviously next week's opponents are Bristol. Let's have a look where Bristol are in the league. Liam, you come in Bristol. How did they get on this weekend?
It's Bristol Rovers. Let me check.
Oh, I thought you had it. I thought you said you were doing results earlier on.
No, I added up at the time.
Sorry. I'm like that. I delete things as I go along.
I do have it.
They're 12th in the league. I know that.
They got beat by Northampton Town 4-1. Actually, Bristol Rovers are in awful form. They beat Stevenage, but apart from that, they've lost to Fleetwood, they've lost to Burton, they've lost to Northampton, they've lost to Exeter recently. So they're just
hands with glee.
You know, they're just getting beat by bottom end teams. We should be fine.
That's pretty promising. So what would you prediction be for that game then?
We get beat 2-0.
Will, what are you saying, mate?
5-0 Carlisle, because why the hell not?
Yes. That's what I wanted.
If I say that and I'm right.
Yes, Will.
I mean, that'd be pretty epic. Like, that'd be a pretty epic weekend. Max?
2-2. I think it's going to be... We're going to be winning 2-0 and then just collapse. And it'll be 2-2.
I just want to end the 7 defeats in a row, to be honest. I'd probably take a draw.
I just want to end the season.
There was calls on social media, and I think it was even reported on the News and Star. It was not like a headline.
It went viral, didn't it?
Yeah, at least sort of like an article that was quoting, can we just like not play the last 14 games of the season? Can we just stop playing now? And I don't know.
Yeah, I think
that would really help.
Yeah, I think it was in the Sun that they kind of like showed the clip of the own goal and were just like, Talal should be relegated now.
Yeah, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, it's and I just it is getting comical.
I did kind of briefly think, shall I have a little look and see what they're saying on the Bradford forums? Because if it's been in the news, they'll have seen. And I was I don't want to know.
Fuck off,
you're in League Two and you're going to be there next season. At least we might not be.
It'd be good at a way to, at least. That'll be a silver lining.
Ooh,
oh, God, can you imagine if we got relegated and got them first day of the season?
That'll be incredible.
I'd love that. Harry Lewis making his homecoming.
Yeah.
That'd be fucking awesome, mate. That'd be awesome.
John Gibson's still with us, of course. Scored a hat-trick.
Oh, man. But there's something else that's absolutely awesome is everybody's favourite game.
Guessing the player.
Guessing the player.
Guessing the player.
Yeah, let's go, boys.
Guessing the player.
Fixing my mic and playing
guessing the player.
Oh, boys, right, I'm getting all nervous once again, but I don't know why. I'm on a good run of form. I'm on a pretty good run of form, as I've already just said, and you know, I'm looking forward to this one. I got 2 points in my last match, and I think I got 2 points before that or something like that. I don't know. I'm doing okay. You know, I'm picking up points along the way. I'm trying to make my way towards the top end of the table. Somebody that's at the top end of the table, though, or at least, you know, very close to the top end of the table, because we don't really know what's going on.
We haven't a clue.
I mean, it's Max. I know I was top at one point, but I haven't won any points in ages, so I would say I'm probably third now.
I doubt that.
Might be suffering that. I will do the research eventually. Like, listen to the last like 5 minutes of every show consistently for a little bit, and then just tally it up. It'll be easy. I'll do it. It'll be fine. I'll do it on times five or something. It'll be fine. But lads, you know, it's Max's hometown advantage in this game. Will, you're taking on the role of the clue guides, and you know, will it, Liam, sit back and relax, mate, as we battle it out, because it's Liam versus Max.
Liam's gonna try and guess it.
Yeah, I'm messaging Will. This is
what we do now. Liam will try and guess it, and if Liam guesses it before you, I'll let you know.
Yeah.
Well, without further ado, it's time to play everyone's favourite game. It's time for Guessing the Player. Take it away, Will.
Okay, so he scored 2 goals against Carlisle for Northampton under former United manager Keith Curl during the 18-19 season before being released at the end of the season and picked up by Carlisle under Stephen Presley. And I've got a Stephen Presley quote because I added one of these to my last one and I quite like it now. Stephen Presley said he plays the game with a high level of energy, which I like, and he's a dynamic and creative footballer who likes to get the team forward. He's very much an attacking midfield player who hasn't always been used in that way, but that is without doubt his position. So Stephen Presley said of this guy.
Nice. Okay.
So he scored 2 against us when Keith Curl was manager.
He did. Right? Yeah. He scored 2 against when Keith Curl was the manager of Northampton.
Oh, I know who it is.
Oh, right, okay.
Liam's got it.
Is it Skugel?
It is not Skugel. Skelly?
Is it, because you said that thing about playing as attacking midfielder beforehand, so
well, that was Stephen Presley's opinion.
Right, okay. I don't know. Jamie Proctor.
That is incorrect.
I've got such a good record when I'm not playing.
Okay, so Max, he didn't score in the league for Carlisle, but was on penalty duty in the early part of the season. and scored the opening goal from the spot after a rebound in a 2-2 draw away to Cardiff in the FA Cup, as well as two penalties in the League Cup against Barnsley and Rochdale. Overall, he made 35 appearances, continuing as a regular starter under Chris Beech before the pandemic brought the season to an early end. It looks shorter written down.
Oh no! I think I know what his is. I think I've got his face, but not the name. If that counts.
I mean, can you telepathically convey his face to me, and I'll let you know.
Well, I was hoping you were going to take my word for it.
My mind, but I don't know.
Who was on penalty duty? I feel like I'm taking too long now.
Well,
I'm just gonna guess. It's wrong, but I'm gonna say John O'Sullivan.
You're right. It is wrong.
No, that's awful. I was like, surely not.
Horrible clue, guy. You turned out to me. Horrible. I'm gonna go with because I just can't remember when it was. So I'm just gonna go with Derek Asamoah.
It is not Derek Asamoah. Derek Asamoah scored more than 3 goals.
I don't know.
He definitely scored in the league.
Yeah. Now, so we're on to third clue. Remember that Liam got this ages ago.
Yeah, and it's really frustrating me that I'm not playing.
He rejected an offer of a new deal when his contract expired and signed for Concord Rangers in his home county of Essex. He currently plays for Southend United.
Don't know what his first name is. Bridge.
Yeah, I think you can have Jack Bridge.
Yeah, you got to give him that, yeah.
Jack Bridge, get in.
Boo, there half a point. Boo.
If we're talking half a point, you guessed Amatoye.
It's the Liam rule, the Skelly rule, sorry.
Well done. You got it.
Well, Skelly is the only sitting member of the board, remember? So.
No, but the board too is beyond my control. Not something I have control.
I mean, you're right, it is beyond your control.
But no, well done, Max. I believe you're going to probably get away with this one and come away with the 1 point at the end of it. You know, you've rescued your form, you've turned yourself around. So it's a good way for you to end the show. Lads, it's been an absolute pleasure, like it always is, to be completely honest. And there isn't really anything else left for us to do, apart from saying, bye for now.
In a bit.
Bye for now.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hold up.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport, powered by fans.